grain of rice, a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Come on, we crack on. There's great stuff here. Okay, I see the recording button up on there.
In the camp.
Hi guys, hard to believe we're into the coming in towards the last week in July. For some people, it's been a desperate long summer, but I suppose here we've been banging it out there every week, and it's been. I found the time flying, to be honest. I can't believe it's nearly August, but. Today, we're back to our group format, which is great. Two great weeks, I have to say, with David Harity. Not afraid to talk out about his time involved with Kilkenny and the ups and downs of it. And then Ken McGrath last week, just about. And that was great, you know, just honest pod on life and hurling and, you know, not being caught up and not winning the All-Ireland medal and things like that. But just great stuff. And it's up today. We're back in group setting with TJ, Mark and Larry, and we're delighted for the first time this year to be joined by Ken Hogan. Ken, how's the form? You're looking fit there, kid.
Bean and mean, yeah. I'm spending a lot of time the club pitches at the moment. I was over in Lura last night. There was Camogie, there was under 12 hurling, and there was senior club training. John Mack is back. John McIntyre is back in Lura, Dalo, so we're all excited about that.
Is he still fitter than all the players, Ken?
He's still fitter on all the pairs, and his hair is black as well, Dalo, by the way.
I know. Jesus Christ. I know. He's been taking supplements long before the rest of us, that man.
Yeah. He'd love to play himself, I'm sure, but it's tremendous to see all the county players involved. I don't know what you think, but watching the Wexford Championship at the weekend and watching the Dublin Championship, I thought the standard was very high. I thought the teamwork was very good. And of course, the impact of the county player paid huge dividends, particularly obviously for St. Martin's with Lee Chin. But I think, like, even looking at Bonner and Brian last night training with the club, sure, it's a huge boost to the whole parish. And then the under 12s won, and the lads came down and congratulated them. And I think it's a fantastic situation at the moment. However, way it panned out, that the club players or the county players are totally involved and immersed with their clubs at the moment.
Yeah, I was in Clarecastle last night as well, Ken, over trying to see would I sneak a ticket for the weekend, which is unlikely. I think there's going to be a draw for 9 tickets among 350 members, I think. So anyway, no matter how long you play it, you'll be we might have to try and climb a wall somewhere. But how was, just on a sneaky inter-county one there, myself and TJ be interested, how was the Bonner moving?
Bonner is moving well. Obviously, from our point of view, we lost our centre-back last weekend, who was Michael Dolan. Unfortunately, in a sort of one of those farming incidents, but thank God it's just the top of the tongue. But their Bonner is absolutely motoring well, but he could be actually played in a more of a midfield area for Laura, I think, at this stage because of moving back players and things like that. But he's in absolutely superb shape. And before COVID, unfortunately, came into being, he was winning the fitness test with the young fellas in Tip. So from that perspective, in absolutely brilliant shape, and I can see him going on injury free if he can. I can see a few more years in Bonner at inter-county level as well.
Yeah, it's a nice problem for Liam with all the young lads trying to burst on, and then the Bonner back, you know, champing at the bit. It's scary stuff for everyone else. But yeah, it was great, lads. I don't know, you tuned in. Not everyone can be tuned in all the time, but just to see the Wexford, to see St. Martin's and Oulart, and you know, you see Liam Dunn on the line up against John Myler. And then, you know, on Sunday, then we saw the Crokes under new management destroying Ballyboden. So, yeah, that was obviously a good move by Kilmacud. But it was, and I watched the highlight show, Ken, on Monday night there. They showed a good few of the Wexford games then, and I thought St. Anne's, Rathangan, and Rathnure game, Dee O'Keefe, Liam Ogg, that was a cracker of a game. And then you saw the Fight Harriers with Derek and the system. You could see it clearly in play. But then you have Lee Chin up front. Jesus, the burst for the first goal, where he just went through the middle like a hot knife through butter, like, and laid it off and didn't bury the 30-yard free to win it for them, like, you know. So just fantastic to be able to sit down at home and tune into that sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, the absolute power of Lee Chin. Like, he was up in Coolderry. You probably saw there on 6-1 News, the featured Coolderry and Fate Harriers. It was the very first game back post-COVID. And the Coolderry lads are still raving about him, how well he played that evening, how he dominated the game. I think he ended up with 114, 115 at the Lawn of his ease. Like, so, I had to feel for Ferns, St. Hayden's Ferns, because they were really did all the hurling, you know. Yeah. And the old cliche, goals wins matches. And it really came to the fore with Lee. I think it was actually a controversial decision, that free, and it was moved up and things like that.
Soft.
But Lee took total advantage of it, and he absolutely buried it. So, I mean, from a Wexford point of view, when you see Lee Moog playing so well as well, you know, and of course Dermot. So from that perspective, I'm sure Davey was licking his lips in anticipation of what's going to happen later on.
Yeah. Did you see a couple of the games, lads?
I didn't see the games on Friday night, Dale. I was in the west of Ireland. I got drowned to the underpants really, really bad Friday night. I was fucking raining up there.
Was that after the night out? Was that after your substantial meal and your fucking 12 pints?
No, this was training. But
the underpants, the underpants is worrying me a bit. Have you any wet gear, like?
It went through the wet gear. It was so bad on Friday night. The couple of points I was going to make, just following up on Ken there, right, is I actually, like, being involved with St. Thomas's, I actually think that the club scene is going to benefit hugely for the county players being fresh. Like, usually the county players are coming back deflated if they're beaten and out early, right? Or they have to be flagged by a county team. They're disappointed. Like, you know yourself, Dale, when you come out of that county scene, you have to get beaten. Jeez, you'd be as low as a snake's belly for a week or two, like, right? And you come back into a club scene, it takes you a while to get going. The other thing is, the pitches that we've travelled to, and the pitches I know at home in Garry's Bland, the pitch at St. Thomas's, the pitches are in brilliant condition, right? The weather there on Sunday and even last night training has been fantastic. So I actually think we could be, right? I'm going to make a forecast here, right? I think we could be in for some of the best club championship hurling that we've seen in a long number of years because of that freshness, that hunger for games, and the fact that all the inter-county players are involved and training with our club, and there's been a window there of 4 weeks where everyone is together, as Ken said. So I'm going to make a forecast that we're going to have the best club championship in most counties. Just on the other note you picked up in there, it is great that Kilmacud have a kind of attacking, scoring 418, new management system, that they're not parking the bus anymore. It's going to be exciting for them. So that's just one comment that I had to put in there.
Yeah, I knew you'd have one bombshell for me on that. But Jesus, that was one thing. I did it once with Clare with Adam Markham. I often did it with the Dubs when we were up against that fucking Kilkenny concurrent team. But I never did it with Kilmacud. I just said, Jesus, I'm good forwards here. I'm 11 to 6 of them up. Oh, stop. Like, but you know what was very noticeable on that team, like, is what I noticed now when watching the Monday night games, the Wexford players, and you do look out for the county players, let's face it. But then, even watching the Crokes and Bowden, and in fairness, Bowden, like, Conal Keeney was still Trojan for them. Conal is 38 in September. Dave Curtin is 40 in September, midfield. Like, Bowden, I'd say, are in real transition, where that Crokes team that maybe could have or should have won the county final against Bowden 2 years ago, like, it could have gone either way, and it went Bowden's way. They were still young, you know what I mean? A lot of them were 22, 23, 24, and they've added in. But I just have to say, though, that you're looking at the likes of Ronan Hayes, the size he's gone to now, you know, and the power of him and the ability in the air. Like, Ronan, for me, last year was still, he improved from the previous year, but was getting there. But now he's kind of established as a Dublin forward. And I would say these county players, you know, a lot of the club players trained away during the lockdown. Do you know what I mean? And ran their 5Ks and did, but I'd say the county players, the programmes they were on is separating them now, Mark, from the club lad. You know, just watching it, like, Fergal Whiteley everywhere, all over the field, running the show, you know. And the Bowden lads just couldn't keep up, like, because all those lads, Simon Lambert, Shane Durkin, the Bowden lads, the backbone, my team, they're all gone. Gary Maguire has gone out of goal, you know. So, for me, it was a marked difference. Mark Howard from Cork, who plays with the Crokes, finally fifth after a cruciate 2 years out. He was hugely instrumental, taken down for the penalty, which was soft, but also bagged the goal. But the county player for me, and as as Ken said about Lee Chin, I think that'll be a feature over the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, like, look, yeah. We all know there's an expectation on any fella involved in the club who's on the intercounty panel that he'll be fitter, stronger, and he will have should have a better attitude than most fellas playing. And it's great to see it then when they do play with their club that they are to the forefront, which kind of takes away all the negative vibe that's out there. Fellas are saying, how is this fella on the panel? Or there's better fellas back in the club. I'm just delighted to see that the intercounty fella is actually, I suppose, distancing himself somewhat from the club player. But you don't want a rugby situation in Anthony turning out where you have, you know, your professional rugby player that sometimes could come back and play a club game and then could really hurt the fella physically because they are, I suppose, their strength and conditioning is way ahead of what the club player is. So that is, I suppose, that is something that we have to watch through into the future. But I made this point a couple of weeks ago that any good intercounty fella will come back and impart some of the knowledge that they've got from their intercounty scene back into the club scene. So if you have a good management structure in your own club, there will be stuff that the lads are doing at intercounty level that they can bring back and put their younger players or put their club players on, which will improve their physical and their fitness side of things. But I think the big boost to what's happening in the country this moment in time is that your intercounty player is back with the club. And we all know that when your intercounty player is back in the club, there is definitely a boost to the locality. There's a boost to club training. Club training is maybe 15-20% more intense because the intercounty player is then starting to set a level where fellas have to, I suppose, step up to the mark really with the club. So I think it's great. And I agree with what TJ said earlier on, that I think that we could have a way better club championship and structure and quality of games, I suppose, is the big thing. I think it'll be significantly better. And I'm delighted, Anthony, we need to make this point. A number of weeks ago, we were, you know, what Michael Deignan had said in connection with John Horne and not coming out and you know, being tough on intercounty managers that weren't allowing the intercounty players play with the club. He was very, very strong when he came out after that that weekend. And I mean, most, I think, intercounty players are full-time 100% with the club now.
Yeah. One of the things, obviously, I was over in Clarecastle last night and the talk, the amount of lads are training last night for the first round of a championship, watching. I know, of course, there is the novelty of it, but there was also the sniff of, could we get in? But the reality is, like, as a club, and Wolf Tone, we played down in Six Mile Bridge, which means we can't even watch it live on the stream, and we'll come to that in a while. But the reality is, I think we 58 tickets for the club, like, and that's the whole panel, the selectors, the physio, the doctor, one or two doing stats, you know, that sort of thing. And then, obviously, the chairman, secretary, treasurer, PRO will be bagging one. I think there's 9 tickets left over, like, as I said, you know. Yeah. And, you know, Mark, like, I know John Horne has appealed to the GA to say, or to the government, and the new conditions being reversed from phase 4, that could we make an exception, like, that it's like place like Cusick Park or the Gaelic Grounds or Thurles or Páirc Cliath, you know, 200 people is ridiculous.
Yeah. Just a couple of things on that now, right? We had a match in Killa on Monday night. It was junior football, okay? And we had a match monitor. So there's an official person there at the match to monitor the numbers that are on the sideline. Now, one of the clubs had 27 players tagged out. So the match monitor had to remove 3 players from the pitch. Yeah. Now, which isn't a nice thing for any club to have to do. But then the club responsible should have been responsible enough to say, listen, lads, we're breaking the rules here. We've 27 fellas tagged out. We know it. So there's a huge amount of problems, Anthony, already now starting to come out. I was talking to Pat Ryan from Sales yesterday. He said they have 37, 38 fellas training for senior at the moment. They're going to be asked to tag 24 of the championship. There's going to be 13 fellas left out. He said we are going to struggle to get those 13 fellas back to go senior training on an ongoing basis because they've nominated 24. That's a problem. But one thing that's really hitting me right now is our minors are playing championship tonight against Clyne, okay? And it's a home game for Clyne, which is fine. I have a nephew playing on the team, right? And he mightn't be on the team, right? But his two parents went to go. Now, there's 24 on the panel. And if two parents, more lads, we say between guardians and parents or whatever, that's 48 parents you potentially could have. We've only 40 tickets. that means there will be no supporter. I want to go to that. He's my nephew. I'd love to go to that match tonight. But now I'm in a situation. I can't go to that game this evening. I just think that this decision to remove from 500 down to 200 people has tore the heart out of the GAA, and that needs to change in as soon as possible, back up to the 500 limit. And Anthony, whether you're talking about the national stadiums and stuff like that, I think even at club games, people aren't silly. They're going to self-isolate themselves. All people want to do is be able to go to the match. We need people will be responsible enough to mind themselves, to spread out and stuff like that. But reducing it down to a potential just 40 tickets at a match is an absolute disaster, Dela.
It's a disaster. Dela, on Sunday night, guys, Glenn, we had an under-21 game. A good win over in the Beer Sheik.
Yeah, tell us about that. That was the glamour under-21 game in Limerick, really, now.
Yeah, big one for us. This team has been good in minor for the last couple of years. We've won a couple of counties. Great win over in the Beer Sheik in the Gaelic grounds. And one of your former students, Dylan O'Shea, lit it up. And I assume you're taking credit for that as well.
Obviously. I got him at 14. You only told him how to grip Dorley there when he was here
recently.
Well, Dale, you've done a really, really good job because he was class and he's definitely one for the future.
I heard John Kiley might be looking at him for the short term future.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. But I was one of the people that was at the game, like in the Gaelic grounds. I'm with Mark all the way on this. The 200 supporters is just going to cause too many problems. You'd nearly be better off to say, you know what, play the game behind closed doors and just let the people involved there, right? Or else let's go to 500. 500 is the logical solution here. 200 people inside the Gaelic grounds, you could hardly see anybody. It looked like there was nobody there at all. But I think that the GAA had to be strong here. Like, I think in big grounds, 500... really, really, really simple. You should not have agreed to that. And going back to what you said, like Mark, like let's get a fix on this straight away. It will cause too many problems.
Well, I spoke to a few people about it, the Artesian. You know, Ken, I asked a couple of, you know, the people who were involved, maybe the Nemetan people, one of the lads in RTE, like they can't see the government backing down to the GAA or John Horan's appeal and all. Do you know, that was kind of the straightforward answer I got, that the government won't be seen to give the GAA special status. Maybe in a couple of weeks' time, but not straight away.
Yeah, the GAA are like the farming community, you know. If you're part of that community, you're all for it. But if you're not a part of that community, then it's the agenda is put out there that the GAA are going to get preferential treatment. Already, I said the GAA are looking for exemptions, but if you're talking about League of Ireland starting up again, sure, 200 League of Ireland matches no good either. I mean, the clubs are trying to survive. If you have 500 at a tenner ahead, you have $5,000 at least into the coffers to keep things turning over week to week. But with 200, it's in the middle of nowhere. And I think, in fairness, the government are quite aware of that. We know that there is huge interest in sport within the government circles and at the top table. But from their perspective, I'm just hoping that after this weekend, lads, you know, come the 1st of August, that the next round of championships, there will be 500. We have to cater with what we have at the moment, because Keane was on to me already. He said, Dad, I have to put in a name. Is it you or Joan, your ma'am, or who is it? What name do I have to put in? So that had to be in by 11 o'clock this morning. So that when Keane gets his ticket, he hands it to Joan or Ken. And basically, that's accounted for. It can't be Anthony Daly coming up from, Clare Castle to go into the match. It just won't work that way. You have to be identifiable. Your phone number is there. The contract tracing is there. So for the first round, unfortunately, I think we're going to have to live with the 200. But I would be hoping against hope that the 500 would come in eventually in the next rounds of the championships when things have gone okay, hopefully.
Dela, is there any word from the GAA on the bigger picture here, right? Is there, like, if you look at the 200 now, like, is there a roadmap to get it to, let's say, 500, to get it to a bigger crowd for a county semi-final, county final, and then looking at October for the inter-county games, like, the GAA, are they kind of giving in a little bit here and playing by the rules in order to win the bigger battle down the road?
Yeah, there might be an element to that, TJ. I can't say whether that's the case or not, but I think the whole thing has been thrown into disarray by the the movement of phase four back again. Obviously, we thought the pubs would be open last Monday, the wet pubs, as they call them, and things like that. And I think that being moved back has kind of tied their hands a bit on it. Like, I'd be hoping for Mark Lenders that, like, with the, you've half the cabinet down in Cork South Central, like, could you not sort it out down there? Like, normally, as we've known down to the tradition of our lives, the GAA, Cork have ran the show, like.
Which, you know, the Greens are in power now, Dela. So, and like, we saw recently they're asleep at the wheel. Like, so, what more can we do? Like, I can't help it if the leader of the Green Party decides to go for a snooze during the day. Like,
but, did he ever hurl Eamon Ryan, did he?
I'd say never hold on and never pick up a rugby ball or a football. A bit like Leo now in that fact as well, like, you know.
Harry, you better come in there. That's a good hurling name. Ryan's a good hurling name, Mark.
He definitely hurled somewhere along the way, didn't he? Surely.
Are you related, Larry?
Not that I know of, Dale. Oh, no.
He's not the Temple Derry Ryan's.
I don't think so, no. I'll try and trace him there before the end of the show now.
Yeah. But Mark, in fairness, most people who work very hard and work long hours normally have a snooze during the day, don't they?
Not if you're
normally when they're at home, TJ, but not when they're on the campus.
Ken brought up the farming community. Like, Landers is sending us texts there about bringing in X amount of bales per day, and yesterday how many had to get in, like,
I'm not joking, you know, I was welded to the bed for the last two nights, lad. I can tell you, I'm after bringing in 3,000 small square bales, you know, to, and save it out Raindale as well, like, you know, perfect for the Hofstein crowd now. But
you still got the Ballinrobe, mind you.
No, well, no, you see, here it is. It's not just the GAA fellas were affected by the lockdown, but the owners of Hofstein weren't allowed to go to races either on Monday, so I had to watch it on the television, unfortunately, Dale.
Oh, I thought we were allowing just the one owner in at the moment, but we're not.
No, that has been taken back now, Dale.
That's been taken back on the 10th of August,
very disappointing now, like, you know.
Mark, just from my experience in bringing in bales, I have to ask one serious question. There's three key jobs in bringing in those square bales, right? Does the fella on the fork, does the fella on the trailer, or does the fella in the tractor? Which one were you?
Oh, the driver, for fuck's sake. Come on, kid.
TJ, shut up. Everyone knows Donnie is the farmer in the house, right?
The worker.
Yeah. Although, in fairness, Ken, all through the lockdown, TJ has had this hour and a half on a Wednesday morning there, like, in the office.
It's available.
It's amazing. It's been spectacular to watch.
Yes, working remotely, as the famous saying.
No, he's in there. No,
I'm in the office. I'm in the office. But see, we are a necessary business, Dale, as I keep telling you. We are providing vital print solutions to lots of people, lots of companies locally in the Midwest and the HSE. So that's front my line. Broadcast for Cube today in here in Limerick. And just while I'm getting in as well, Dale, the Garish Blam Board in Og is motoring away nicely. Our Monday nights are really going well, where we've all our teams training. And we have a couple of fixtures coming up there as well. Under-14s having a rattle off the Pearcy. Big battle now coming next Wednesday.
You're really going to torture the Pearcy at the moment, like, aren't you?
Yeah, we're in our sights. But, things are going well. But, like, stay with me. They have a really good chairman out there.
We'll watch this space. You're not in action at the weekend, TJ. Senior.
Gary Spillane are off yet. It's groups of three in the senior because it was kind of six teams in the A part and six teams in the B. So groups of three. So one team, has a bye. So in Gary Spillane's particular group, Blackrock and Belly Brown pair off. And then the following weekend, Gary Spillane play the losers. So on the B side, one team comes out of the three. And on the A side, two teams come out. I suppose the glamour tie here on Friday night, Dale, would be Kamalik and the Pearshig. Like, so there'll be two teams with sights on winning the county. So Tony Constance back in Kamalik, and the Pearshig new management as well. Shane Dowling, obviously because of his injury, he's not playing. I think a couple of other injuries in the Pearshig. So interesting game coming there.
Yeah, and another big one, I suppose, the rivals between the Whale and the Dare, like, that'd be the other big one in Limerick per se, going through the counties I was looking at anyway.
Yeah, local level, yeah. But Mark, yeah, it's on television. Yeah, Limerick has their own TV set up there, so you will be able to tap in. I'm not sure exactly the cost of it.
It's on TG Carr as well, though, isn't it?
It's on TG Carr as well, okay. I'm not sure if there was a fiver there for the 3-1 games last week to tap into, so.
It's a fiver. Limerick is a fiver, yeah.
I think now, TG, I'll be going for the free coverage on TG Carr, and like, being the county that you have, you're all right. You don't need any money, so you have the JP behind you, like.
Yeah, it was plenty of money down with you as well, Mark. I just see something there recently where you're streaming every match for free.
Listen.
You don't need it.
I don't know about that. You've got to ask Kevin O'Donovan that now.
Mark, it is an interesting one. Like I'm looking at, I'm going through it. Like, I know, as I was saying, Nemeton are involved there. They've got involved with 7 counties, I think, putting on a kind of a professional. No, as TJ said, the Limerick one was very good the other night, from the Gaelic grounds, the streaming. But the Nemeton have got involved, I think, on the hurling side with Galway, Kilkenny, Waterford and Antrim on a kind of a platform thing. Now, you will have to pay, I think it's £6 in Galway, £6 in Kilkenny, £5 or more for £3 in Antrim for all the world. What they are providing is a real professional setup, and that you could come home from the match and put it on that night, and you know what I mean? You can watch replays up to 30 days, I think, you know. So, but with other counties like Tipkin are charging a tenner to watch one game, it seems steep, like, and they're all giving out here around Clare, I know, from texts and everything, like that 780 per game. Wexford a fiver, Limerick a fiver. And in fairness to Galway, I think I've been critical in a couple of my columns about Galway and some of their county board dealings over the years. I was more historical now than a few lads that abuse me on Twitter if they're listening. But they're for me, €6, 2 games for a 10 or 3 for 15, 4 for 20.
That's the way the package should be. And I think Tipperary are reviewing that because there was a bit of upheaval. Like, you think of every club, we're talking about the club here all this morning, and in every club there's fundraising going on, there's calf rearing schemes, there's lottos, there's county board draws, everybody's paying into that. And you have to consider the fact that these people won't be able to go to the game. And then if you have to put a 10 in your pocket to watch one individual game, I think it's fair play goes out the window. So from that perspective, I heard last night that Tipperary were reviewing that, and they were trying to create a package where you would get 3 matches maybe for €20 or something like that. So I just hope that comes to fruition, because with the situation at the weekend, with the games, huge interest in all the games, you know, particularly Bursley and Toome. Imagine Bursley and Toome, like 200 people only being allowed in, you know, for 30 or 40 tickets per club. Really mouth-watering game. Turles Arsley's Killer One in Holy Cross.
Another huge
game, you know, and they've had great games. And Turles with renewed zest, you know, Tommy Mahery's back at the helm there. So from that perspective, there's a big interest in that game. And you know, all these rural venues where you have a situation where people can arrive, and we've got to respect the officials, we've got to respect the people that are there volunteering, the stewards and things like that. But there is the potential for a situation where somebody could arrive, or there could be acrimony at the gates. We don't want to see that. I think we want to see the games going ahead. That's the biggest thing. We were thrilled to see the games going ahead. For this these fixtures at the weekend, you have the live streaming, or you have you're either lucky or unlucky to get a ticket. So from that perspective, I think we just have to bear with it for this weekend. But I would be optimistic, and please God, you know, that COVID won't intervene, but I would be optimistic that there would be 500. And I think TJ made a good point that the GAA are probably looking forward. They're taking baby steps first to see how this pans out.
Tell us, Ken, quickly about the Clonalty and McCarthy arrangement.
Yeah, that seems to be an arrangement between both clubs. Now, I don't know the county board aware of what's going on. That Twitter came out late last night. But two very progressive clubs, and Clonalty, I'm sure, county champions, you know, the previous year. So from that perspective, you know, 2 years ago, from that perspective, very broad-minded the way they think. West Tip is like, you know, they're a nation of their own. They're very proud of what goes on there. They have Tip Midwest Radio. They do things right. And I can imagine they just took that innovative idea of going in, streaming the game themselves at for free for their own patrons. Probably aware of the fact that all these people that are involved in both clubs are putting their hands in their pockets and keeping the clubs alive.
That's going to be an interesting situation now, because I like the Cork GAA announced during the week their arrangement with TG Cahar and RTE for a certain amount of games, and then the Irish Examiner have come on board as well with Cork GAA, and they're going to be live streaming games for free, which Gaelo, thanks very much for mentioning us there a while ago, that Cork are doing something now from a leadership point of view. So, you know, I think it's a massive step forward from a Cork perspective is like that the games are going to be for free. And like, I'd be interested over the next month to see when you look at the numbers as to say if there's a tenner for a game in Tipperary, is a fiver in Waterford and other counties and zero in Cork. The numbers are going to speak. And I've always made this point that I think if you reduce the costs into any game, you will get more patrons to go to the match. But I think that is a huge situation. But sorry, coming back to Ken's point about the two clubs live streaming, I just did pick up on the GA statement that live streaming outside of the recommended ones was not allowed. So I don't know whether they can stop them from doing that, Ken, or not. But it certainly, this comes back now to the image rights of players as well in the game as well. Like, there's a bigger picture at play here now.
Is there anything in it for the clubs, Mac? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think there's anything in it for the clubs at all, TJ, because, I mean, those two clubs aren't going to be charging their own patrons to watch the game. But it will, because I think from what I can gather, it could be anything up to between 12 and 1500 euros to get a good camera system in place. That's judging by what I've heard during the week from East Cork Board. Are lucky at streaming some of the matches, and two quotes they've got have been up around the 1500 euros. So, I just think that the county board might have an issue with, you know, and you know, if you wanted to tape a game, if you're a manager now and you want to tape a challenge match, you have to get county board permission to, and you have to get permission from the other club to actually tape the game. Now, but two clubs here going away making their own decision without the go-ahead from the county board, I think that's going to pose an issue for them.
Yeah. Dello, we were talking about it during the week. Like Thomas says, we're playing Castlegar on Saturday night in the stadium, Pure Stadium. And what effect, like this is a challenge match kind of feeling around the place now, right? You know what, first round of the championship, that little bit of blood and thunder, like the crowd getting behind you. If you don't make a good start, the crowd are getting on you. You have to up your game. And you know, the way you played wing back and you like to play close to the crowd to kind of get involved with them, right? Like what effect will no supporters there have on, will it affect some teams more than other? Like 10 minutes to go, you're a pint or two down and you hear these local people getting behind you to drive the thing on. That's going to be missing here now early doors. And I'm just wondering what sort of an effect could that have on, usually in challenge games, maybe the better team or the better hurlers come out on top, right? Whereas in a championship, maybe the underdog, crowd behind you, just things going well, you're 2 points up, adrenaline is flowing, plenty of roaring and shouting going on. I'm just wondering, will that have an effect, do you think?
Well, I would have imagined before the start, TJ, that it would have an effect. You know, I mean, for me, growing up, going out to Tulla to play one of these Clare teams, but Jesus, I'll tell you one thing, there's no doubt about it, if you were taking a line ball, you could be called any sort of thing, you know what I mean? And you could interact with them as well and saying a pity in the few county players, like, you know. And did do that back in the day, you know, when we were getting hammered in the Munster finals in 93 and 4. I remember going back then playing the Clare club and maybe hitting a good sideline ball and some fella saying, pity you didn't do it last Sunday week, Daly. You know, and you would. That's the fact. But like, I can just say, like, from last weekend, the standard in Wexford, I thought was really intense. Like, although Dublin, you see, I have this system in Dublin where there's probably 4, 5, 6 maybe clubs a nice bit stronger than the weaker clubs. You know, you saw big beatings dished out, like Setanta got an awful beating off Nafina, I think, and you have a bit of that, like, you know, Kula minus David Tracy, I think, and Jake Malone and John Shannon. Thomas Davis gave them a bit to do, but they still won comfortably for a finish. But like, geez, the Crokes Bowden game, there was a fair dust up, I'll tell you, just before the water break in the first half. There was one in all in sort of a scenario. So I think, look, players know there's a county championship here that's unique at stake. And I think once they're in there, they seem to be pumped up from trying to watch the close in. And even watching training last night, Tige, like Fergal Auckland's training the team in Kirkcastle, anyone that knows him, you know him, he's a fiery character.
Yeah.
Like, there was a buzz in it. Now, the problem with Clare is, if we win on Saturday evening, we're meeting losers. Now, in Clare, we could meet the losers of Kinmaley and Cratlow. We could meet the losers of Clooney and Ina, Kindamona. And we could meet the losers of Six Mile Bridge, Eroag, for instance. So we could be out in our ear in 2 weeks' time. And we, our three big players would be Stephen O'Halloran, who's back with Clare, Bobby Duggan, who we hope might be back with Clare, and Patrick Kelly, who was with Clare and won an All-Ireland in 13. They'd be our traditional three. Jonathan Clancy, I suppose, is getting older, but he's still flying it. But like, do we leave the three boys because they're three slight injury doubts and all these soft tissue injuries that are recurring because fellas are mad for action and going faster than they ever went, and there's hamstrings coming into there. The boys are slight doubts, but I think could be pushed to play on Saturday evening. Or do we say, geez, lads, it doesn't matter whether we win or lose on Saturday. We have to have the three boys 100% for 2 weeks' time. So that's the sort of dilemmas. But I don't think, I'd say when you see the Cashel boys inside in Pierce Stadium on Saturday, is it?
Saturday evening.
I'd say the old tradition of Cashel might burst out through their ears and they'll have a good go at you.
I have no doubt.
You're about 1-5 in the bookmakers, I see, like, but and hot favourites to win it out again and bring back the three in a row, and no doubt with yourself guiding the ship. And if you're able to stay on the sideline this year, are you going to go to the stand this year? What's your own plan?
Well, for the year ahead? First of all, you know, Kevin Nally's the man guiding the ship, right? So I
know he's the manager, but Kevin doesn't seem to be getting put out of the pitch regularly, though.
That's what I said to you earlier on in the podcast here. Sometimes I get misunderstood, right? I'm trying to explain something and they take me up wrong. You understand that, Taylor. Sometimes it just happens. But no, the plan is to stay in the field, and now that there's been nobody kind of roaring from the stand and stuff, it might be a little bit easier. But what I was going to go back to say there, the July fixture here, right?
You mean back to Limerick, you bally?
Yeah. I've heard plenty of them. You know yourself. Yeah. The July fixture is something special, as you said there. To be hurling in the better weather, in the better grounds, I think it really is a once-off for the club, right? It might lead to a different discussion for people down the road. I did see something in the paper today in Cork Mark about can these two championships, intercounty and club, can they coexist, right? I think for the club player, I think that coexist would be great. And I think that, I don't know what the solution to this problem is. I tried to work it out in my head about where you can get seasons and fine pieces, right? Because obviously the intercounty piece is the flagship piece, and that's important, and that's what gets everybody involved, and it pays for lots of stuff, right? But where is the fix for the club intercounty player? But right now, club player is going to benefit hugely.
But there's no point in that being a short-term scenario or a short-term fix, because, you know, if the club game goes into decline over the next 20, 30 years, you won't have an intercounty game. That's the reality. So we have got to preserve our club game first and foremost. And now what Cork are doing this year is they're running a hurling and a football championship, and they're maintaining the championship format that they've had set out this year. And it's going to run off over 11 or 12 weeks. Now, to coexist with an intercounty scene, you can do that over 8 months. So we've been able to find 11 weekends that you can play matches. Surely you can find 11 weekends over the course of an 8-month season that you can provide a club championship as well, and a good club championship. So I think the intercounty managers had too much power and too much say on fixtures, and it is protecting their own players more than letting them play. Because as far as I'm concerned, a fella's more likely to get a belt at intercounty training as anywhere. So, you know, in an amateur association, stop wrapping up intercounty players. We know they're strong. We know they're fit. Let them go back to their clubs and rejuvenate themselves. Because sometimes you know how intense it is at intercounty level. A couple of weeks back with the club is no harm to get a fella straight as well.
I still think that's not going to work, because... Yeah. You live counties winning All-Irelands, and then managers saying, what's the point in getting involved here? He has his players for 4 or 5. Like, we're looking at a situation realistically, like this week, if Ferns are beaten, if Ratnour are beaten, and if the Raps are beaten in Wexford, they're out of the championship. Now, they're not meant to go back training with Wexford the 12th of September, but,
okay, but
we
that's
all have our suspicions that, yeah. You know...
But that's a separate issue, Anthony. The coexisting I'm discussing about is into the future, that the intercounty game and the club game can coexist.
Yeah, we've already discussed. If I can come in there, lads. and I agree with Dalo on this one. We'll all be a lot wiser at the end of the year. What will happen? The Wexford County final, even with Ratnour out early, Wexford County final is on the 23rd of August, right? Some county finals are not until the 1st of October. That's a full 6 weeks later. Now, we're going to be sitting back in and judging and watching what's going to happen in the inter-county world. We're talking about the excitement of the club fair, but every year, and we've all gone as spectators to club games, and we're looking to see the county player in action, and next thing, the club team comes out, and the inter-county player is not playing. He has a tight hamstring, or he may be advised, as you well know, by the county minister, don't risk it this weekend. You've got to be ready for inter-county fair the following weekend. And the disappointment in the crowd, the disappointment of ourselves, that we don't see those county players, they're sitting on the sideline looking like spares, right? Carrying a hurley or carrying a bottle of water. For the county, inter-county to coexist with the club, I think this is the perfect scenario we have at the moment, unfortunate as it may seem, right? But at the moment, we're giving every inter-county player the chance to prosper with his club. A lot of inter-county players have been brought up with the thing in their head. Geez, I'm an inter-county player. My first right allegiance is to inter-county sport. That's not the way. We all know club is absolutely paramount. So from that perspective, I think to run it, Mark, and I know you have the best interest at heart, to run to coexist, and then your one of your top players doesn't play because of a tight hamstring or a quad muscle injury or something like that, I think that's the huge disappointment in club circles that emanates around the place, you know?
But I think, Ken, like, look, we've said it before here, and I'd straight up, Mark, I think we forget about this club window April thing. I'm talking about a normal year now. This is abnormal stuff, obviously. We brought the All-Irelands back from September to the 17th, 18th of August. I think it's been a huge success. We've had two brilliant years. You know, we've seen Limerick making the breakthrough. We see Tip bouncing back last year. I think we can bring back the All-Ireland Hurling Final to the first weekend in August, the August Bank Holiday weekend, without any problems here. We start our championship in April, the round robin in Munster, Leinster. You have as good a chance of weather at any stage, you know, and with the facilities we have now. And then you definitely have a club scene starting. We say even starting that weekend, because there'll only be two counties, remember, in the All-Ireland.
Yeah.
Right. We definitely have a chance there now. We're showing how we can run it off in 11 weeks. Wexford are showing us how they can run it off in 3 weeks nearly. But
I think we all know now, Dale, that that's fairly wrong now. Like, what's happening there? Like,
well, I don't think it sits right. I don't know how Paul Galvin agreed to number one as the football manager, who's a high profile guy. Now, I know Wexford football is way lower than Wexford hurling at the moment, but Paul Galvin was brought in to bring them back to the top, you know, bring them back to Division 2. And be contenders like they were 9 or 10 years ago in Leinster, you know, getting to Leinster finals in football and that. So I'm surprised. Like, it'll be very interesting, I'd say, with the likes of St. Martin's, you know, a very strong dual club, how prominent the O'Connors will be in the football championship in Wexford. That'd be fair to say. How prominent, like, will Jack O'Connor be scoring 2-9 the football championship in Wexford like he did last Friday night?
I think Ken's made a valid point there, Dillo. I think by the end of the season, after we all see how the club thing panned out and how the intercounty rolled into the intercounty, how there could be something there for to look at for the future. I do agree with Mark. I think the dual system is a problem for the club player. I think that, like, having no championship in clubs in May, June, July, and effectively August, yeah. I don't think it's sustainable, right? Like, there is something magic and exciting about clubs. And I said, I'm involved in one where we're training a beautiful July evening. The pitches are in great nick. You have your inter-county players. I think that's brought some of the magic and the drive back into clubs, right? We have lost a little bit of that. And even Ken on about the banner up in, like, in the club. It is great to see it in the summer. How you fix that, I don't know. But the only thing I do know is intelligent people fix problems. Right. Now, you might say to me, Dalo, smart people don't get themselves involved in problems, right? But there is a solution in there somewhere, right?
Don't bring the conquerors back.
Oh, no, no conquerors today. But I do think that it's an issue. And I think what Ken just said there might be the best. I think with the right people round the table, given what happened in unfortunate circumstances, when we just weigh up everything as to how it all panned out, the clubs and the counties, I think there might be something there to look at for the future. But I don't agree with the club player being redundant
for the four best weather months of the year.
Yeah, and like the other thing, a great point that Ken just made there, right, about the inter-county player currently has a feeling that his first allegiance is to the county. And for the four of us, maybe we're the same generation, we would have always said our first allegiance was to the club. And I do agree with what Ken is saying there, that the inter-county player coming up now feels that the allegiance is to the county rather than to the club. And if that can, if that exists lads, into the future, well, to me, you can forget about your club game then. So I think there's an onus on the GAA at top table to protect the club first and foremost. And that club needs to be first and foremost with the player, because when you're going down to the field, TJ, you're the juvenile manager and Gary Spillane, or juvenile chairman. And if you're 5 and 6 year old lads and you see a prospect there at 8, 9, 10, 11 years of age, and you're saying to yourself, okay, he gets to 18, he'll be on the inter-county panel, and the next time we'll see him is when he's broken down or he's retired at 35 or 36 years of age. Why would you put time and effort into that kid at 5, 6, 7 years of age? You want him for your club, and you'd love to see him playing at inter-county level.
Yeah. The only thing with that, Mark, is I'd say with the Limerick Underage Academy, Gary Spillane had been one of the biggest benefactors of that system. You know, there's been, you know, fellas there that really are shining
was
now.
The results are speaking for
themselves there with Gary Spillane, like, you know.
But to go back to what you said with the club player, I think, to be fair, an awful lot of club players are very intelligent at the moment too, right? I think your club, what your club is doing and where they're at is important too. And if you're in a club, right, realistically aiming for a county championship, right, I think that you're, in fairness to the current players, they are driving their clubs on. They are the best there most days. They do want what's best for their club. It might be a little bit different, and I don't want to kind of put anybody into this bracket, that if you're involved with a club or you're just trying to hang on in senior or whatever, or maybe the effort isn't as good, and some clubs, the strength conditioning is there, the training is there, the coaching is there, and other clubs might be a little bit under the bar. I think that has a factor too. And maybe some of the inter-county managers and coaches know that, and they're kind of saying, listen, I mean, you need to be in here with us where you're getting better, kind of the better services. So that's a factor too.
Well, I think, lads, we can ask Ken this, and you brought it up, Mark. We are of the same vintage. We tried to... No, I didn't see Clarecastle Harley for a county league game there for about 6 years. The 6 years, Luck Nahan was in charge, but then Clare teams won the Munster Club 6 years in a row, and Luck Nahan used to just put out his two hands and say, I didn't see Clare teams winning Munster Clubs ever before, lads. All of a sudden, do you know? And he was covering his arse that way, like, I suppose. But Ken, you see it obviously with Brian, like, you know, the pressure from your time in goal with Tipperary, successful two-time All-Ireland winner. Now your son is the Tipperary netminder. The pressures at inter-county, lads, are gone through the roof, though, compared to when you were there, when I was there, when you were there, Mark, when you were there, TJ. We thought there was fair pressure because there was a lot of live games in our time, let's say, starting up around then, late 80s into the 90s. Like, lads, the whole thing has gone to another level, and it's easy to say, come back, Mark. But I think it's not possible. I think we've tried to define our year as best we can.
Okay, so I don't want him to come back, but I want to protect the club game.
You know that. We hear that. And I'm, look at the buzz in Clarecastle last night, just driving 20 miles out west, buzzing, like, saying, yeah, Jesus, this come hell or high water, I'm getting in.
This year has been the great leveller, lads. This year, unfortunately, has been the great leveller, because it has meant that we can go back to our clubs. I remember walking in with T.O. English, and T.O. was 90 there a couple of weeks ago, would you believe it? I remember myself and Skippy Cleary walking in with T.O. into a league game against Cork in Turles, and he said, were you playing this morning, lads? And I was after playing a league game with Laura, and Skippy was after playing a league game. Skippy says, I only played for half an hour. We had one at half time. we actually played league games before we went to play, and ye all did too, played before inter-county games. Now you have a situation where it's the other way around. But I think just the club player had to be the inter-county player had to be educated as well of what the club is all about. To be actually over in the field during midsummer when they were never there before. Usually it's maybe September. Then at that stage, the under-8s, the under-10s, the under-12s, it's all wrapped up. So they don't see the inter-county player. Whereas now the inter-county player is there among his people over on the pitches, training with his club, meeting the underage teams, meeting the Camogie players, meeting the parents, and I think it has been a fantastic impetus. And this is why there's a huge interest in the club scene at the moment. And that's why, Mark, I'm trying to say, to coexist, that is not going to survive. Also, you have a fact of the Wexford situation. If Wexford do win the All-Ireland this year, and remember, they have a big chance. You see the Rorys and Jack O'Connors of this world. They're maturing. They're coming on in a big way. Wexford, at the moment, are probably favourites to win Leinster, right? If they win in All-Ireland, if they sneak in All-Ireland, well, then every county is going to say, look at what Davy did. He set out the plate. He laid his card on the table. The county final was over the 23rd of August. And now they have succeeded in winning the Lee McCarthy. Then you have another big argument on your hands.
Yeah, like, Mark, would you, like, say, if you were Kieran Kingston and you're looking at, like, Cork are probably going to be late or finished, obviously.
Yeah.
Didn't take advantage maybe of the 2 weeks extra that were granted. No. Wexford straight away took advantage. Like, if you're Kieran and his management team and you're not long, we'll say, gone off that stage, like, are you not saying, though, Jesus, this is fair tough on me, like, and the Cork public, you know, if they're beaten by Waterford and don't come through the back door, like, they won't be too forgiven for Kieran. And well, he having maybe 5 weeks less preparation time.
Well, I suppose, Anthony, like, am I right? So, is the 15th of September as the return to actually for Intercounty? Yeah, for Intercounty. So, like, the way Kieran Kingston is looking at it, well, the other rules that are set down by the GAA.
And Davey, we have to break that rule, Mark.
Well, certainly, I can only speak from a Cork perspective. They're certainly not doing a whole pile, like, enough from what I can gather. And whether fellas are doing something in other counties is up to themselves, but they're breaking the rules, I suppose. And Cork being Cork, Anthony, you know yourself now, we'd love to play by the rules all of the time. But
no, you don't break the rules, you twist them. That's the way I always found it.
We found a way to manoeuvre around rules.
Yeah, loopholes, you were the kings of the loopholes.
But unfortunately, Frank has departed the scene now, Dale. So we have to go a different route. But I don't know what the Wexford inter-county team are going to do when the county final is over, like, and when the teams go to championship.
6 weeks preparation, Mark. 6 weeks preparation for inter-county is plenty. Nowadays, all the players are, you know, fully conditioned. They're in super shape. They're hurling at club level, at top level. If they're playing in county quarterfinals, semifinals, knockout stakes, they have to be playing well with their clubs. They're going to come back actually refreshed to their county.
I would agree with you.
And that 6 week window coming into inter-county championship is plenty. I'm just keeping both fingers crossed here that we have an inter-county championship. That's the most important thing. But Fore and foremost at the moment, and it's great that here in the month of July, we're discussing the club scene. And the club scene has taken precedence to everything else.
Yes.
And look, positives. They're the positives, TJ, aren't they? Like,
they're massive positives. I was just going to ask Ken there, right? I'm just kind of thinking out loud as listening to the conversation there. Is there any way that the calendar could play the club championship in the summer? Right? That means then the club player would have his summer evenings. You wouldn't need all of these lights for training, and if you could push the inter-county to maybe the beginning of the year and the end of the year. I know, Dale, I know you're pushing it back to the 1st of August, and I know we want all these fancy summer days where we have Munster Championship and all that, right? But in the bigger picture, would it be mad to explore the club championship having a 3-month block in the summer where they get everything out of the way and the summer evenings down the club, May, June, July or whatever, and that works? That's just thinking out loud now. I don't have the proper solution for it.
Yeah, and it's a fair point, but I think the GAA, that's why the Intercounty Championship was left until the end this year, because of the fact that we have 5 or 6 top pitches that are floodlit, usually in pristine condition. So in the event of any circumstance where that would dictate that something else happened or something was delayed because of something, that games might be played under floodlights, we have those 6 intercounty pitches that can cater for intercounty games, whereas in the club scene, that's probably not there with the volume of games we have. But like, you take club games, club training starting in January, which to me is a no-brainer. Most guys are in good shape nowadays. They're in gyms. They're working out. We're starting training in January. We play 2 club games, as Dale mentioned, in the club window in April. 2 games max now, by the way, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's the inter-county season for the year. That is not a level playing field. The inter-county scene or the club scene could start in March. You could have it finished by July, as Dalo said, and then you motor into your inter-county scene. Either championship way to go. But I think they have to be, you can't have a stagnation where you stop the club scene, start it again. That's where the whole crux lies.
Yeah, and look, I think that's just something that has to be sorted, Tej, whether we go one. I don't think a break in the middle would work. It might work, but I don't know. I think it's a defined club. I think if club players knew, lads, you know, just know that...
They just want confirmation of when they're going to be playing.
My first round is going to be the August weekend, the latest. It could be the earliest, the 14th of July, but the latest it's going to be is the August weekend. Like, even if Clare are in the All-Ireland, Limerick are in the All-Ireland, I'm going to be out the week after the August, whatever we decide on the All-Ireland final. But lads, just look at the overall picture. Would we be a bit concerned? 36 new cases yesterday in the country. Just talk of a risk of a second wave and increased figures over the next couple of weeks. One of my bugbears would have been that we allowed... Now, it was very difficult to play a club within your own county when draws weren't made, which was the problem. Clare were very late making draws, and I know that, like, trying to play a crowd and then you might draw them in the first round. Some, like, I know clubs in Clare played clubs from Cork. They played clubs from Dublin. We've seen the problems in Derry, huge problems in Derry, Laois, and that brought football and hurling into play because of a dual club in Carlow playing a club in Laois, Cork, North and West, I think, Mark. And in the latest is in Tyrone, I think, with two clubs that have played. And Sean. And like this weekend being the big opening weekend, really, for me, where we've nearly all the counties between football and hurling, across the board, like minor championship, as you said, Mark, minor championship coming into play next Wednesday night in Clare, football, hurling really kicking in. Would we be worried? Like, you know, I'm no doctor or, you know, a medical expert, but is this the real worrying time now as I said to you about the Crokes Bowden match, full blooded game, and there was a fair bit of thumping. Now, in fairness to Sean Stack, he gave out two yellow cards and let him play away, but there was a fair bit of wrestling and jostling and stuff. The opposite, anyway, to social distancing, anyway, for sure, you know. So, this would be my worry in the next few weeks that things would escalate again and we could see a scenario where the club scene mightn't be finished even. Never mind the county getting going.
So, yeah, well, I think it's interesting, the two cases in Cork now, the one in North Cork and the one in West Cork, they're completely the opposite as to what actually happened. So in the incident in North Cork, there was a player, I think, travelled from Dublin, and on the way down, he didn't feel great. And he contacted the club to say, look, that he wasn't going to play the match or go to the game himself. And he went away and got himself tested, and he actually did test, I think, positive. But there was he had been training the week previous, so that was the concern for the club, and they stopped all action at that point. But I think all the players have been tested and were at training, and there's no negative result. The different scenario then happened in West Cork, where a person who attended a party had been tested the day before she went to the party, and never said anything. I went to the party, and 2 days later tested as positive. Now, that person knew that they weren't feeling well. So that's where I would have a big issue. Like, the personal responsibility that people take for their actions is the key thing here, Anthony, I think. And, you know, that was a player in the North Cork scenario, so he knew himself, and maybe fair play to the club had given them good guidance and stuff like that. On the other scenario, it was a lay person who wasn't involved maybe with a team and stuff like that. But the fact that the person had been tested should have been enough to say, I need to really pull back here and not be involved with a wider community. And it's unfortunate that that has happened, but personal responsibility is a big thing here. And, you know, I think a lot of clubs are doing their damnedest to make sure that they keep their people safe, they keep their members safe. And that's, like, in fairness to the HSC, everything is documented. You know, there's a huge amount of work going on in promoting what's the best thing to do, the social isolating, the washing the hands, coughing into your arm, all that stuff. So that is brilliant. But if people ignore that, well, then they're putting themselves and everybody else at risk.
Yeah. A lot of mixed messages as well, Dalo. Let's say, take myself. I can't go to the hill in Athlone for a pint, but I can go to America. And even this morning, right, they're basically saying, we don't want you to travel. We're not advising anybody to travel, but here's the green list. So again, like, and even on the GA side of it, one of the issues that I would have for some of the players at the moment with all the matches coming up is the lack of the use of a dressing room. Maybe there's some protocol that could have been used around that as well, because if you, you know yourself, play a championship match there at Manning, which the broadcast isn't great for the weekend, and you come off the pitch after, we'll say, 60 minutes and you're just drenched in sweat, wet. Like, having that shower there within 10 minutes is critical just for their recovery, get everything right. Whereas some people could be driving 30, 40, 45 minutes back home. So there would be a risk of getting sick in there as well. So I don't
know. Did you ever play in the Limerick Soccer League, TJ?
No, Dillo, I had two left legs and they were only good for standing on, thank God. my football career and my soccer career was never around, but I do know what you're talking about. That Sunday morning soccer, maybe it was early.
Yeah.
And to go back to what you said earlier on about you were never a doctor, there is a good ring to Dr. Anthony Daly, all right, isn't there? Maybe there could be something. Yeah. I see you doing a lot of work there for the HSE. So
don't
lose sight just yet.
I've no issue with the dressing rooms. I think the dressing rooms should be closed. I think the showers should be closed. I think I am involved with the Laura Camogie team as well. Every Camogie team in Ireland, I think at club level, they travel to the matches, they play their championship games. The facilities, as you well know, and a lot of the dressing rooms aren't conducive to the girls showering. They get into their cars and they go home and shower. I think that's a small sacrifice we have to make to get the games up and running. What I am worried about, TJ, is we're talking about streaming the games this weekend. So 15 Laura lads can't go to the match, right? One lad says, come over to my place now. Yeah. We'll watch it here and we'll have a few beers. And then it's very easy to have 15, 20 people in the one room watching Laura against Torres Arsfields and everybody chomping at the bit and no social distancing. So from that perspective, I think that's a bigger worry. And I think the 500 in Cusick Park Innes or Páirc Uí Chaoimh or Páirc na Gaeil or Simple Stadium, you know, it's just a dot in the ocean. And I think that's where people have to put on their thinking hats and say, this is more practical than people meeting in enclosed spaces or in houses in small sitting rooms to stream a game live and 20 people watching it. And I just thought of that, TJ, when you're actually speaking about the games, you know, that's something to think about as well.
And Ken, is the 500 not going to be looked at until the 10th of August, or have the GAA a possibility here of flipping this before then?
They've appealed it anyway, TJ.
But I believe it won't happen before this weekend. It won't happen before this weekend. So we're hoping for an August scenario of the next round of championships that there will be 500.
Okay, you can imagine.
Not a big thing to ask. It's not a big thing to ask.
No. I was in Clarecastle last night. We were chatting away, myself and the two wee brothers now, social distancing and et cetera. And Pat Fergie's involved in the county or the club committee. And Pat says to Fergie, what's all the red X's about? He says, that's the social distancing now, because we're hosting two intermediate championship matches, I think, over the weekend. And that's the advisory thing, like, where this is how close you should be unless it's a family member, you know. I also think as well, Ken, on that, like, you know, and hopefully we get a reprieve by the following weekend and that we will get more numbers in. So also, you know, the thing with the pubs being closed and the wet pubs being closed. Like, if you're the likes of Ferns, as we mentioned a few times, and I'm not saying Ferns probably could win now this weekend and get back into the championship, but if they're knocked out a Saturday evening and you're out of the championship, by the way, like, and the first thing really, lads, when we're knocked out of the championship is we all were there looking across at each other in the dressing room saying, where are we going for one? Like, you know, and the pubs closed, you know, I think, again, that was a mistake, to my mind, that you know, we saw your man in Newcastle West with a bit of controversy, the Whelan lad there, TJ, but, geez, to see his layout, to put a lot of the pubs that are serving food, and I have only been in one of those, to shame with the layout he had. Now, how that goes on later on tonight, we don't know. But look, lads, I think great stuff there. We touched on so many things. Couple of ones, TJ, Napiercy, Kilmallock, just for the punter out there, would you say Napiercy, obviously, Shane Dowling, out?
I think they've one or two other injuries as well, Dillo. Yeah, I'm on a similar line of thinking to you here, right? I think Kilmallock, I just checked Paddy Porter, there's 130 at the moment, Kilmallock. If there is a bit of value in the Limerick Championship, it might be Kilmallock. Like, the losers obviously will still probably qualify, so it's not kind of winner takes all, right? But if there is something going to happen this weekend, 130 on Kilmallock, Dillo, I wouldn't put you off it.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, I know Thomas is a certainty to win in Clare Stadium. But come here, the Turlough-Moore Mellows game jumps out at me as one that's saucy. There's been a lot of talk about Turlough-Moore, isn't there, over the last 2 or 3 years, the amount of players they've had coming through. And obviously then Mellows, having won a championship and appeared in a couple of more finals, like that's a tight one to call.
A very tight one. Speaking of underage setups, like Turlough-Moore probably really led the charge there with the fail of wins and stuff like that. This has been going on for a while now, and last year in the semi-final it really, really went down to the wire. We had a purple patch before half-time, but they came back at us and we were lucky to survive. So there's no doubt about it, they're coming. Mellows have been there or thereabouts, nothing between us for the last couple of years. So that game is very, very, very tight. I just couldn't call it. I don't know the inside of both camps as to how they're going with injuries. But it's a very, very 50. I even think the bookies actually have that match at a 50-50. It's even money or choice. Like, so I couldn't call it. And Ken, I'll sit in the fence, Dale, like yourself.
Yeah, well, I'll know. I'll give an opinion on a couple of the Clare games. But the big... I go there before I ask you, Ken, because I think there's two huge ones, as you've mentioned already in Tip. We can't go to Cork because your man does nothing about football anyway.
Big ball, Dale.
Junior B, you know about Junior B, Cork, East Cork football there, boy, I tell you, unreal. But in Clare, like the big ones are like Kilmaley and Cracklow, which was, you know, Cracklow beat them last year in the semi final when nearly the whole county expected Kilmaley to win. They'd won the county league and they kind of flopped on the day, and Cracklow didn't really turn up in the final, and the Bridge won it easy enough. And I think Kilmaley, as you said about prices, TJ, Kilmaley 11-8 would jump out at me as being value, like the underage they've had as well in the last, winning minors 21s, and very strong panel with the likes of Conor Cleary then as well. Clooney Quinn and Aina Kildemona, another big one, but I think Aina Kildemona could be an outside bet for the championship in Clare. And then the other one would be Six Mile Bridge and Aeroa Guinness, and Aeroa have steadily been improving, and obviously with O'Donnell and Reedy and now Liam Curry is looking like a starter for Clare as well, a cornerback. But it's three county men. Aeroa haven't had three county men in as long as in my lifetime, I'd say, since the days of you'd remember them, Ken, Declan Coote and Nolly Ryan, Sean Heaslip, these guys, Barry Smith. They haven't had three, so that's a very interesting one as well. So yeah, I think Kilmaley, Cracklow, the pick game in Clare. But really, Ken, the one, like for me, Boris and Toome jumped out at me from being very friendly with Richie, obviously, like, you know, and like the whole rivalry between the two of them for years and years.
And you're talking about the bookies, like there'll be no bookies there. They'll be meeting at the crossroads to back that one, because the dogs, the horses, it all pays into comparison with Boris Ali and Toome. What a game. I'm just hoping to get the call from local radio to do that or else I'll have to hire a helicopter, because this is one for the annals. Because Boris Ali, Munster club champions, you know, All-Ireland club finalists, Tommy Vara, who have been the sleeping giant, Tommy and Ken have put in a huge amount of work there, and now of course to go for the boot and bollock with Owen Brislan coming in, and Owen is going to add a bit of cut to this team. And they're there on the periphery. We're very hard luck against Killadanga last year in the county quarter final. Young team, hungry. And I know Owen and his backroom team have done a lot of work. They've travelled the country playing games. So from that perspective, that's a very tight one to call. In actual fact, huge efforts from Brendan Maher last year, Dan McCormack and Paddy Stapleton, huge leaders for Bursley. If they're not unsung, you could have a wager there on Toome maybe to pull that one.
Right, and you were saying earlier, I know from talking to John Mullane, and he does a bit of ambassador work for Paddy Power, I think they're one of the bookies anyway. He has Kilruan down as his outside bet to win the Tip County Championship. But you were saying that Turlough sort of have pulled together and are sort of, I know they'd be an aging team, but Turlough would have an awful lot of underage every year coming through, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and Turlough have moved out, as you know, to the race course road there. That's their news. They have a fabulous pitch out there. Turlough were always handicapped in the sense that the backfield in Turlough was their pitch, and, you know, huge, huge history there. But having said that, you know, every team was there. Every person was passing through. They've done an amount of work out there. They have two senior teams this year. Obviously, they won the county intermediate 2 years ago. Larry and all the lads are still playing. Billy McCarthy's back from injury, may not play with the A team, but could play with the B team. And we wish Billy all the best, because a Tom Parsons-like injury, you know, at a very young age, he'd have been part of that Tipperary setup last season, only for unfortunate events. So I think that, you know, in Holy Cross again, 200 people to watch it. Oh my God, this is going to be some stuff. Tommy Maher's had great success with Turtle Sarsfields, but Billy O'Shea is still at the helm. Noel Larkin is back in there again. So from that perspective, Buggy O'Mara has immigrated. He's out of the country. Now, he was a great focal point to win ball for Killer One. They have a few injury niggles and problems which could militate against them. I expect Turles to make a statement with that one, Anthony, and win by a few points.
Yeah, great stuff, Ken. And that's it.
Just talk about people out of the country. Is Peter Duggan back now for the?
No, and that's why you'd be going though. That's why you'd be going trying to kill them on and that one. When they got to the county final 2 years ago, the replay with the bridge and Peter Duggan was unreal. You know, Fergal Lynch is probably gone now at this stage. He played full back last year and he's not a full back anyway. Like, whereas he'd been full forward the year they got to the county final 2 years ago. So yeah. Great stuff. I'd certainly be paying my tenor, Ken, to watch Boris and Toome anyway. I'd even, you know, that's one. Is it played in Holy Cross, is it?
No, Killer One and Turles is in Holy Cross. Boris and Toome is in the traditional venue of Nina, which has good facilities for TV coverage and has a huge tradition of holding Boris Lee two matches where there was nearly 12,000, I had never mind 200, you know. So, perspective, we're looking forward to it.
It'll be interesting to look in if I stream it to see how many are sitting on the walls and on trees looking in outside. That was one of the things that jumped out at me in Wexford watching the highlights when they played what you call the pitching in Iscarty. Is it Hollymont or Hollymont? They play a few of the games were played there, but there was loads of lads outside the wall with the two hands up on the wall, you know.
A lot of ladders being pulled out now, Dela.
Well, it was discussed last night because Pat Doohy, as I mentioned earlier, is a tradesman and does boilers and all that, but would obviously have to go up into attics and places. So I said, Dela, I have a couple of ladders there at home. I'll be fitting them to the roof of the van. He says, so feel free to jump in with me, go down. So, yeah, lads, it's brilliant. And TJ, we'll wish you the best of luck.
No such thing as a certainty. I was going to just kind of say to you there, Kilmaley at 11 to 8 and Kilmallock at 130 would get you 50 for your fiver. So it might be a little bit of value there. We'll put our neck in the block, right?
It would more than cover the streaming of the Boris Toome game for me, like, you know. So I might invest that fiver. TJ. We'll see. But look, lads, thanks a million for today. I think you've brought great to the people listening. I think you've brought great. Various.
Dela, look what's happening.
TJ, take it off. For the people that can't see us, he'll probably put it in at some stage. He's after putting on a hat like Jack Charlton, Lord of Mercy name, used to wear when he was going fishing. But there's a big Liverpool logo across the top of it. So he's the champagne ready below in Knocklong tonight.
Tonight's the night, Dela. We've been waiting a while.
What you say is the name of the pub in Knocklong that's not allowed open?
The Hill.
The Hill could open tonight. It's the back door.
Chips and burgers.
Pizza. The frozen pizza from Aldi. Come on, we give it to you after 30 years and say good luck again. We don't want to see you no more.
Don't yellow.
Because you're like the United crowd now, the way you're going on with the roaring and shouting. Okay, lads. Thanks a million. And Ken, especially thanks for joining us today. And no doubt we look forward to catching up with you as the year goes on. We'll be podcasting Christmas week this year, Ken. So last year, in fairness, you were good enough to pop up to the Burlington to Larry's room the morning after the All Ireland. That was some occasion.
I was lucky to find Larry's room.
Larry's room. That's for the podcast. I tell you, Larry Ryan doesn't do things by halves or the examiner like in the Borlo, like, you know, as the lair like in the room. And let's just say it wasn't just an ordinary room either. There was a touch of a sweet about it.
In bed with Dale.
But look, we'll be looking forward to lots of those days as the year goes on. And hopefully, as I said, I know we had to bring up about the increased cases and a few scares. But look, lads, hopefully, as you said, Mark, personal responsibility out there. Anyone listening to us, please lads, you know, I know it's summer, it's so difficult to comprehend that we can't do, like, as you said, TJ, go down tonight and watch Liverpool being crowned champions in the pub with a few ales. It's hard, but we have to, I suppose, go by the rules, and that's maybe what should get us our full season. So thanks, folks, for listening, and be safe, be good, and we'll talk to you next week.